Chapter 7. The Spinning Melody in the Gateway. Something had appeared in the darkness. Turning slowly, it radiated fine filaments of white gold light. And as it did so, the darkness around me began to splinter and break apart. Then I heard a new sound, a living sound, like the richest, most complex, most beautiful piece of music you've ever heard. Growing in volume as a pure white light descended, it obliterated the monotonous mechanical pounding that, seemingly for eons, had been my only company up until then. The light got closer and closer, spinning around and around and generating those filaments of pure white light that I now saw were tinged here and there with hints of gold. Then, at the very center of the light, something else appeared. I focused my awareness hard, trying to figure out what it was. An opening. I was no longer looking at the slowly spinning light at all, but through it. The moment I understood this, I began to move up, fast. There was a whooshing sound, and in a flash, I went through the opening and found myself in a completely new world. The strangest, most beautiful world I'd ever seen. Brilliant, vibrant, ecstatic, stunning. I could heap on one adjective after another to describe what this world looked and felt like, but they'd all fall short. I felt like I was being born, not reborn or born again, just born. Below me there was countryside. It was green, lush, and earth-like. It was earth, but at the same time it wasn't. It was like when your parents take you back to a place where you spent some years as a very young child. You don't know the place, or at least you think you don't. But as you look around, something pulls at you, and you realize that a part of yourself, a part way deep down, does remember the place after all, and is rejoicing at being back there again. I was flying, passing over trees and fields, streams and waterfalls, and here and there, people. There were children, too, laughing and playing. The people sang and danced around in circles, and sometimes I'd see a dog running and jumping among them, as full of joy as the people were. They wore simple yet beautiful clothes, and it seemed to me that the colors of these clothes had the same kind of living warmth as the trees and the flowers that bloomed and blossomed in the countryside around them. A beautiful, incredible dream world. Except it wasn't a dream. Though I didn't know where I was or even what I was absolutely sure of one thing. This place I'd suddenly found myself in was completely real. The word real expresses something abstract, and it's frustratingly ineffective at conveying what I'm trying to describe. Imagine being a kid and going to a movie on a summer day. Maybe the movie was good, and you were entertained as you sat through it. But then the show ended, and you filed out of the theater and back into the deep, vibrant, welcoming warmth of the summer afternoon. And as the air and the sunlight hit you, you wondered why on earth you'd wasted this gorgeous day sitting in a dark theater. Multiply that feeling 1,000 times over, and you still won't be anywhere close to what it felt like where I was. I don't know how long, exactly, I flew along. Time in this place was different from the simple, linear time we experience on Earth, and is as hopelessly difficult to describe as every other aspect of it. But at some point, I realized that I wasn't alone up there. Someone was next to me, a beautiful girl with high cheekbones and deep blue eyes. She was wearing the same kind of peasant-like clothes that the people in the village down below wore. Golden brown tresses framed her lovely face. We were riding along together on an intricately patterned surface, alive with indescribable and vivid colors, the wing of a butterfly. In fact, millions of butterflies were all around us, vast fluttering waves of them, dipping down into the greenery and coming back up around us again. It wasn't any single discrete butterfly that appeared, but all of them together, as if they were a river of life and color moving through the air. We flew in lazy loop formations past blossoming flowers and buds on trees that opened as we flew near. The girl's outfit was simple, but its colors, powder blue, indigo, and pastel orange peach, had the same overwhelming, super vivid aliveness that everything else in the surroundings had. She looked at me with a look that, if you saw it for a few moments, would make your whole life up to that point worth living, no matter what had happened in it so far. It was not a romantic look. It was not a look of friendship. It was a look that was somehow beyond all these, beyond all the different types of love we have down here on Earth. It was something higher, holding all those other kinds of love within itself, while at the same time being more genuine and pure than all of them. Without using any words, she spoke to me. The message went through me like a wind, and I instantly understood that it was true. I knew so in the same way that I knew that the world around us was real, was not some fantasy passing and insubstantial. The message had three parts, and if I had to translate them into earthly language, I'd say they ran something like this. You are loved and cherished, dearly, forever. You have nothing to fear. There is nothing you can do wrong. The message flooded me with a vast and crazy sensation of relief. It was like being handed the rules to a game I'd been playing all my life without ever fully understanding it. We will show you many things here, the girl said, again, without actually using these words, but by driving their conceptual essence directly into me. But eventually, you will go back. To this, I had only one question. Back where? Remember who's talking to you right now. I'm not a soft-headed sentimentalist. I know what death looks like. I know what it feels like to have a living person whom you spoke to and joked with in better days, become a lifeless object on an operating table after you've struggled for hours to keep the machine of their body working. I know what suffering looks like and the answerless grief on the faces of loved ones who have lost someone they never dreamed they could lose. I know my biology, and while I'm not a physicist, I'm no slouch at that either. I know the difference between fantasy and reality. And I know that the experience I'm struggling to give you the vaguest, most completely unsatisfactory picture of was the single most real experience of my life. In fact, the only competition for it in the reality department was what came next.